closer to the Lord.
Amen.
According to the scripture, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Surely thank the Lord for this good meeting. How the Spirit of the Lord has led. Blessed, I've really received the blessing of my soul. I really appreciate the saints. Appreciate the saints here in this locality. And they sincerely desire your prayers. I have a burden on the heart. Something in a song that came to my mind so forcibly, I was going to mention, but I kind of slipped. But anyway, we all, no doubt in my mind, of all that God is looking toward us in perfecting, I believe would be God's desire for us to have that desire to draw closer.
Yes, amen.
I believe that with all my heart, dear one. We have a few scriptures on our heart, several scriptures. No doubt we wouldn't probably have time to read or mention all, but I'm thinking this morning especially about the Lord. Yeah, I know the thought that was on my mind I wanted to mention.
Amen.
It was about the way. When speaking about heaven,
yes.
It come to my mind then a conversation with Jesus and some of the disciples, and he said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?
Yes.
That wasn't my scripture this morning, but I thought about that.
Yes. Amen.
And you know, Jesus said, have you been so long time with me, Thomas, and you not known me? He said, I am the way. So I thank the Lord this morning that we don't know what's all out in life journey ahead of us. But dear ones, as we get acquainted with Jesus,
yes.
We get acquainted with the way.
Praise the Lord.
He goes before us and He knows the way. He is the way.
Yes,
he said, I am the truth and the life. So I was thinking that song, Come Closer, My Child and Me. I thought of those particularly, I'm thinking about the apostles and the prophets, but it seems like right now the apostles, different ones in their lives and their conversation that's recorded in the Bible having to do with their acquaintance with Jesus. It seemed to me like that all of them, more or less, and especially it seemed like some of them had mentioned the beloved Apostle John, he just wanted to get close to Jesus. You know, I believe that all of them, maybe in their particular personality or makeup, as they heard the gracious words and seen the life, the humility, the real divine love that was portrayed in His word and in His deeds all around, I believe they all wanted to get closer to Him.
Yeah.
I believe that was their desire. While there was some human element that was with them in their mind, until they were sanctified, and they did manifest some remarks that would indicate lack of perfection, but still they wanted to be closer to Him.
Yeah.
You know, I thought about when He's on the troubled sea, on a ship, different places, and when He come in the midst or boarded the ship, it made a difference, didn't it? All the trouble that they knew, if he could just be there. Think of Martha and Mary when Lazarus died. Said, if my brother, said, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died.
Right.
They wanted to be close. You know, they realized that there was something in being close to Jesus and having Him with them. So we feel this morning, we want to read a few scriptures. Like I said, it's quite a number of scriptures on our hearts. And if the Lord will, we might just read quite a few scriptures. But I first want to read in the 14th chapter of St. John's Gospel. You pray for us. We surely have a desire not to incorporate any of our opinions or interpretations that would hinder the work of the Holy Spirit and in any way alter the Word. God's word is forever settled in heaven, and it'll stand.
Yes.
It's what we'll meet in the last day. Somewhere along in the 12th chapter, maybe John, he said that my word will judge in the last day. So we want to give good attention to the word.
Amen.
The word of God says. Might say as we read these scriptures, I have in my mind, and I'd just like you to kind of do that if you can, I have in my mind to visualize, I thought about writing it on the board, but I don't think that'd be necessary, the word Jesus. I'm just thinking about the word Jesus. Now, lots of titles. But the word Jesus, the name of Jesus, what I'm thinking about is, I want to read here in the 14th chapter of St. John a little. I didn't realize the scripture we're talking about was in the same chapter. I had looked some scriptures beneath that, below it. But we'll just go ahead and get above it and read that. I begin in the third verse. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's go on down a little further. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The word that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the work that I do, shall he do also, and greater work than thee shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Praise the Lord. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, I want us to notice this, Lord help us. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Well, all of this is good, but I believe that's enough right there. I was thinking now as Jesus walked with his disciples, as he taught them the kingdom of heaven in many ways, dealing with the things that concern the kingdom of heaven on a level, looked like that they could understand. He mentioned about the little children, portraying the humility and things of this nature. He mentioned different ways and parables and saying the kingdom of heaven is like this, and different things. But you know, with all of their willingness to understand and to obey the words that Jesus taught them, they didn't fully understand him. Even though they, in answer to his questions, sometimes would agree that we understand. Don't it seem like his ways? I believe it's, I don't want to go beyond the scripture, but I believe that scripture bears that out. But here Jesus was teaching them and setting before them the truth concerning his death and resurrection, that they would have to witness this. They would have to be made partakers of this before they could realize the depth. I want us to turn a little bit and read over in the book of Revelation. I want to notice first in the sixth chapter of Revelation. Now, the thought in my mind, as I mentioned about Jesus, the name Jesus, the word Jesus, I want us to keep that before our minds and hearts as we read here in this book of Revelation. In the first part of the sixth chapter said, And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. I want to turn back now and read a little bit in the fourth chapter of Revelation. It seems to me that it has to do with the thought that's in my home, my heart. Might begin and just read down quite a bit. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were thunder talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a serpent. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like an ember. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightning, thundering, and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a cat. The third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crown before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now I want us to notice along in harmony with this scripture here, those last few verses we read, where the 24 elders fell down, the 24 elders fell down before him, sat on the throne, and worshipped him, and said, Cast their crown before the throne, saying, You know, I thought of the scripture in the beginning of St. John, where it said, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It said, in the same as in the beginning with God, and by him were all things made, and without him was not anything made that was made. I was thinking about, as we mentioned, the name Jesus, the Hebrew letter, we hear where it said is written concerning him, and let all the angels of God worship him. And it said concerning him that every knee should bow at his name. And here we see the 24 elders that cast their crown before him, that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, cast their crown before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I want us to turn and read some scripture now in the 19th chapter of Revelation. Recall we read here in the 6th chapter of one sitting on a white horse. And now we want to notice again in the 19th chapter of this same book, again about the 10th verse. It said, And I fell at his feet. Maybe ought to get a little above that to get a setting here. I think I should read always in the beginning of the first of that chapter. It said, After these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he had judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted, I surely desire us to pray as we read these few scriptures here. It said, And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Thank the Lord for the saints. And he saith unto me, Write Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet. Dear ones, I want to notice this. Oh, God help us to see what the truth in here said. And I fell at his feet to worship him. This seemed to be that angel. You know, in the Hebrew it said, let all the angels of God worship him. And here he said, I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see, thou do it not. Do you remember Paul, Peter, and John as they, on occasion where one man was healed so miraculously, and they was about to do homage to Peter and John, and you know, I believe it was Peter, took him by the hand and said, stand up, that I myself am a man. In other words, the humility, dear one, the recognition of God as being exalted, as Jesus, as both Lord and Christ, that I fell at his feet to worship him, said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. Here again, a white horse. I want us to think about this a little. All through the Bible, there's been, it seemed like as horses have been mentioned, it was mostly symbolized as a means of battle. You notice in this sixth verse, sixth chapter we read, said he sat on a horse, he went forth conquering and to conquer. And here again is a white horse. I want to mention just to enable us and to help us to get some value and emphasis on this white horse. There was no other white horse mentioned in the Bible before this. Zechariah and others, even on back there was horses and chariots and different things. And Zechariah seen some horses one time. There was a red horse there in a vision Zechariah had. They were some speckled horses, but there wasn't any white horses to lift. You know, the white is symbolizes purity. White symbolizes something about God. You're thinking about Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. They said his raiment was white as the light. I got thinking about that word white, and white as the light. I was reading the other day, the Lord was speaking to my heart about this thought. And I thought of snow, how white snow is. Here we see these white horses. But you know snow is not pure white. You know snow is not pure white. You know, David said, purge me with hyssop, and I should be clean. He said, wash me, and I should be whiter than snow. You know snow isn't quite white. Now, we look at snow as white. But you know, in dictionary, the Bible said concerning snow, not the Bible, but dictionary, said concerning snow, said when new fallen snow falls, well, it'll reflect about 80%. The light will reflect about 80% off the snow. Now, I don't know just how to interpret that, but I read that in a book like that. So it likes that much being pure. But I guess that's enough along that thought, but I just wanted to get a thought here on white. You know, I there's so many things in the Bible, dear one, that Jesus, I tell you that, you know, I thought about the scripture where it says the law and the prophets were until John, since then the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven preaching every man pressed into it. Yes, and I thought where it said the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I appreciated the meeting at Monarch. I want to drop back just a little here to sort of thought about this one that we're trying to exalt all that we know how with our feeble words. I thought about what Brother Porter brought out in the Sunday school lesson about Moses. Some things there I learned about Moses that I hadn't understood before. That Moses, by the inspiration of God, having lived and been on the scene there quite a number of years after the creation, but through the inspiration of God, for him that was and is to come, that same Jesus, though not manifested as in this time that's later, but that same Jesus was affected in inspiring Moses to write these things of creation. I thought about that. And what a great man Moses must have been. I believe the Bible speaks about the meekest man in all the earth. But then in the Hebrew letter, as the writer begins out there, I believe it's in the, maybe in the first chapter, said, this man is counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as he who built a house has more glory than the house. Yeah. So dear one, this name, some of our songs, it speaks about exalt the name of Jesus. Dear one, we won't ever exalt the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Too high. Said, and I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God for the testimony of Jesus, spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. Here's a white horse again. That and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Remember the scripture we just mentioned said the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Then I think about how that he come to do what the law could not do, even though the law was God's instrument of bringing in time his plan of redemption. But what the law couldn't do, Jesus came to do. Apostle Paul, having become acquainted with this Jesus as resurrected Lord, he said there in the beginning of the 8th chapter of Romans, or along there, first or second verse, but for the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free. You know, Jesus said to his disciples that believed on him, and those back there, they didn't yet understand all the things that he wanted to teach them. But you know, he said to some of them Jews that believed in him, he said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Yeah,
Paul was made free, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Paul was in bondage there for a long while. He didn't realize all about his condition and what God was yet going to work in his life. And he was having some struggles, and yet he claimed to be Abraham's seed and different things. But dear one, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus made him free. Jesus, dear one, is the one that can set us free. I'm glad that today. I want to read this little further here. That I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. I want to notice now again, we mentioned about the horses as a symbol of war. But I don't know all about that, but I just want to mention it a little as to kind of add to the thought here of this white horse. It seemed like the Israelites were not permitted to accumulate a lot of horses all back through the travels of Israel. It seemed like when Solomon come along, he had a lot of horses. But here this horse that we see here in this symbolized in this book of Revelation. Dear one, the war that this horse symbolizes is a different warfare to what many of the Israelites were engaged in during that time. This is a war that had to do with overcoming and delivering the powers of Satan rather than just fighting against a human, opposer, enemy, or whatever. But Jesus, the Bible said, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of God. Here was a war, dear one, that was that the type of this warfare now. You know, Jesus said, if my servants were this, or if my kingdom were this world, then my servants were fine. But we understand, we see how that Peter and others maybe to some degree exercised some carnality. Didn't understand yet all about the type of warfare that they were being led into. But then when the fullness of time was come for this spiritual warfare, as it were, in the truest sense, Jesus himself overcoming all the powers of Satan and destroying by himself for us that it we could not do. He went forth, as the writer said in the sixth chapter, conquering and to conquer. And now he said, I saw heaven open and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him were called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. I don't know if you thought about this or not, but I thought about a crown. You know, Paul said there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me at that day. And said, not to me only, but to all those that love his appearing. They said, here are many crowns. You know, we sang that song, crown him, Lord of all. We just read where it said these 24 elders cast their crown down before the Lamb. Said, thou art worthy, O Lord God, receive the honor and glory and so forth. His eyes were flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. I was thinking about the Word of God. I don't feel like I have a lot more to add to this thought. But I was thinking about it in Jesus, in his meeting the enemy. The enemy knew a lot of scripture, dear one. And he referred Jesus to a lot of scripture. But you know, Jesus said it's written again. He used the written word again. You know, over in the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy, I believe it is fourth chapter of Deuteronomy, as Moses was charging Israel there with the law that God had enjoined to them, he said, see that you don't add anything to this. You don't take nothing away from this. For this is your wisdom. In other words, embraced in this law is a complete. You know, I spoke there about the seven spirits of God here in Jesus. Dear ones, in what Jesus brought to life through the gospel completes salvation. It don't need any added to it. I was thinking about then, he said that you don't add aught to it, you don't diminish aught from it. And then I thought, as we're reading there in St. John toward the last of this book, the Apostle John said, now then, that there could have been many things written concerning Jesus. Could have been some more said concerning Jesus. Could have been a lot more written concerning Jesus. But he said, this much was written that you might believe, and believing that you might have hope. The ones I thought of the simplicity of what the gospel, even though it goes beyond the knowledge of man. Man cannot approach unto it other than through the Lord Jesus. But I thought yet about how plain, how simple it is, the doctrine of Jesus. Yes. Even little child, you know, I thought about the little children. I don't know, it didn't seem like it. I've heard much in the four gospels about how the little children reacted to Jesus, but he did say he took them up his arms and blessed them, and there's a looks like a manifestation of thought there that they possibly little children maybe had an appreciation. Well, I don't add more than just what it said there, but I'm thinking about the the Word of God, that His name is called the Word of God.
Yes.
And there's something else that I want us to know that I think is so important here. The Lord helped me to keep this in mind. Maybe I did. I don't know if I went on down and read that or not, but there's a verse below there. Maybe I will in case I didn't get it. I think maybe I read it, but I wanted to read again there, the 19th chapter, and I believe it was that 13th verse we're looking in, where it says that he is, I'll just get it and read it or won't misquote it. Might read the 12th and 13th again. His eyes were as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. I didn't get down to that 14th verse. That's what I want to know. It said, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Now here it looked like, as I said before, these two horses that was made mention in the 6th chapter, and then in this 19th chapter is the only other two places, as far as I know, that there's white horses in the Bible until now. But now it said that the armies which followed in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. You know, there's a fulfillment of David's feeling there in the spirit where he said, heard me with hyssop, washed me, and I should be white as snow. It said, white and clean. And I wanted to notice in closing this one thought. It said, the armies which followed in heaven, which were in heaven, followed him. And that's one of my main thoughts in this little thought that we tried to present, is that they followed him. You know, we read in one scripture about those that followed the Lamb wherever he went. These were they that were not defiled with women, but just followed the Lamb wherever he went. And then I was thinking of Jesus as he was ministering and as he was going on down to the cross and realizing all that was to come to pass and how that he would be rejected and mocked and all of that. And he knew what was going to come down upon him and all. I believe there in the 12th chapter of John, I believe maybe it is the 12th chapter, if somebody finds it, they can read it if they would like to. But he said, if any man hear my word and believe not, I judge him not. You know, Jesus, he didn't come to judge the world, dear one. But he come to save the world. The 19th verse up there, maybe in that chapter or somewhere there, said, this is the condemnation, that light has come to the world. Men love darkness rather than light. So, but Jesus didn't come to judge the world, but down at the last part of that 12th chapter, maybe around the 48th or 9th verse, it seemed like it is, he said, but there's one that will judge in the last day, the word that I've spoken. I'm thinking about the Word of God, that his name is called the Word of God. I thought about, dear ones, as we, this morning during the song service, the prayer was being made. My heart was so burdened, I thought, oh Lord, how we need your divine guidance. How we need your divine love living within our heart to prompt our motives, our actions, our words. I thought about how important, we've heard some good messages here. Oh, I appreciate the messages going forth here. I don't know how to say how much I appreciate it.
Yes.
Because I realize that the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, their word can be hindered if we are not yielded to God. If we're, as it were, retaining carnality or any feeling of indifference in those things that Jesus, that didn't characterize him in no way, they will hinder that. But if we can stay low down at the feet of Jesus, you know, I believe one writer said, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. David said, set the Lord always before my face, for he's at my right hand. In other words, he's my joy. He's my strength. He's my healer.
Yes.
He's my keeper. He's my savior. He's my leader.
Amen.
He's a captain in this army that we have, dear one. He's a captain. I think what it means to hear the voice of our commander. You know, we have a song said something about like the voice of our commander standing firm. Dear one, there's a firm foundation for our faith if we follow Jesus. And I believe it in maybe, I don't know, it might be Isaiah 28 or somewhere over there where it says, "Behold, I lay in Zion for the foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone." Dear one, God has laid something down. God has laid something solid for you and I to build upon, that even when the world is passing away, I appreciate the message last night of the reality of the fast moving of time.
Yes.
But even when the world is passing away, dear one, the word of God stands like it is. Jesus will still be Lord. His word will still stand. I surely desire your prayer this morning. I feel like I said maybe about all the Lord would have me to say. But I do desire your prayers. Oh, I desire to please the Lord. And again, I want to, in closing, reemphasize that those armies of heaven that followed that one on the white horse whose name was called the Word of God, they followed him. They followed him. I thought, oh, how much it means to follow him.
Yes.
I thought of Paul and others of the apostles, and particularly Paul, as in his missionary work and in his ministering, in his life, in the reverses and the shipwrecks and the things that had to do with the tribe that become reality in his life, and not only to him, but most all that follow Jesus. They had these things. But you know, that captain was faithful.
Yes.
And then the angel of the Lord said to Paul that night, and said, "Don't fear, Paul. And I want you to go in this city, and your ship is going to get wrecked, and all the lives on the ship is going to be saved, and different things." That one that has called him by his grace and sent him out to preach the gospel, dear one, that one is faithful. Said his name called faithful and true. But he's faithful, wasn't he? Dear one, he'll be faithful to us if we'll sanctify him in our heart. You know, I think how that Jesus, as he was teaching the disciples there in the 14th chapter of John, and telling him that he would go away, but he wouldn't leave him comfortless. Dear one, God is faithful. Jesus is faithful. If we give him time. Something was said the other night in a message concerning our mind, you know, the mark in our mind. Paul said there where he was speaking to the church and exhorting them to present their bodies, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And he goes on and says, by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Thus to have the Lord working in our behalf and through us, the Lord needs to be in our mind and in our heart. Oh, how blessed it is to meditate. We heard a message the other day. Somebody talked quite a bit on praying. Quite a bit on reading the word and then meditating. Dear one, there's a blessing in that.
Yes.
The Bible says, he whose mind is stayed on the Lord shall be kept in perfect peace.
Yes.
I desire your prayer. Jesus, help me to be what the Lord has me to be.